You're listening to in-depth coverage and analysis of the final weeks of the 2020 campaign on the COIN Podcast Network, your local election headquarters.
It'll end up being a rigged election, or they will never come out with an outcome. They'll have to do it again.
Vote by mail is a way to eliminate those barriers.
I think in Washington and Oregon, the idea that there's voter fraud here, that doesn't hold water.
And we know that the president thinks that if voter turnout is high, he can't win. And that's exactly what we're seeing here.
There is no evidence that vote by mail favors one political party or another.
Episode 2, Vote by Mail. In a matter of weeks, millions of registered voters in Oregon and Washington will start receiving their ballots for the 2020 general election in the mail. Across the country, a record number of Americans are expected to cast ballots without going to a polling place. But accusations of impropriety, cheating, and fraud are dominating the discussion when it comes to voting by mail. I know we're journalists and we want to only talk about facts, but can you say factually the vote by mail works? Dan Tilken covers elections in Oregon and Washington. I caught up with him to discuss vote by mail while he was in the COIN 6 newsroom.
It certainly does in Washington and Oregon, that's for sure. Whether it works in the rest of the country, I think that is the huge question, but it definitely works here.
Sylvia Albert works in Washington, D.C. for a voter advocacy group called Common Cause.
Common Cause works to advance democratic principles in voting rights, in money in politics, in ethics reform, whatever way is necessary so that we live up to our best ideals.
One of the things that Common Cause talks about on its website is, as an organization, being a big proponent of vote by mail. Specifically, what has your organization done and what are you doing to expand vote by mail?
So we have advocates in the states who work with local election officials, who work with legislatures, who work with the governor to show them the realities of voting access. So lots of people, and I think you're seeing this more during this pandemic than at other times, have barriers to the ballot. And vote by mail is a way to eliminate those barriers. So our work in the states is really displaying that to lawmakers and policymakers and working to push them to make changes to expand access to the ballot.
What are some of the things you see as being real benefits of vote by mail?
The idea behind it when it started in Oregon, when voters passed it in 1998, was that you get more voters. People are so busy now, going in this way, running that way. You've got nobody works 9 to 5 anymore, that if you could do the vote by mail, you could reach more people, and all they've got to do is sit in the living room and then put it in the mail, and you're going to increase the benefits. And that way you get more participation, maybe from disenfranchised people. Usually that means minorities, people who are lower socioeconomically.
Vote by mail is really beneficial for people in rural areas and seniors. It's also very beneficial for people who work multiple jobs and therefore are unable to get to a polling location. It's great for people with disabilities. So wide swaths of the population benefit from vote by mail, and those people represent not only two parties, but multiple parties and different demographics.
Say you're a single mother and you're working two jobs to try to make ends meet. When are you going to fit in time to take care of your kids, get them ready for school, work your jobs, and oh, by the way, go to your polling place, stand in line, and cast your ballot?
10 weeks to go, it's probably impossible to do anything major now for this upcoming general election. Can you give me a sense of how complicated it would be to get that infrastructure like we've got in Oregon and Washington up and running in other states?
I think there are a lot of misconceptions about vote by mail. It is actually a very safe and secure solution that includes a lot of safeguards. And it took time to develop those safeguards in such a way that eliminating the majority of polling places really made sense. Right now, states are trying to shift or expand access to the ballot in a variety of ways in a short amount of time. What that means is that nothing is going to be perfect. That is always the case. There's no such thing as a perfect election. But our goal is always to get as close to zero people disenfranchised. And so when states look to expand access to vote by mail, we want to make sure, because they're doing it in such a small time period, that there are safeguards in place and that there are other options available. Because nothing is perfect. And so if somebody doesn't get their vote by mail ballot, or if somebody's dog legitimately eats it, or if somebody chooses, you know, I actually want to go vote in person, all of those options are available to them, even if the state has implemented expanded vote by mail. I would never say that there is a one size fits all solution in every state. That is a good thing. It makes our system even more secure. I wouldn't advocate for, you know, mandatory vote by mail nationwide. What I advocate for is voters to have that choice and states to make decisions that expand access to the ballot. Vote by mail, as I said, is an option. And really, it's the voters in Oregon and Washington who decided that this was the way they wanted to go. What we see from states who do universally use vote by mail is that it was a trend that continued to a point where the election officials followed the voters. At some point, 70% of the voters decided they wanted to vote by mail. And at that point, the election officials said, okay, well, we will change our system to fit the wants and needs of our constituents. Importantly, there are always in-person voting options available for anybody who doesn't feel comfortable using a vote by mail ballot.
Sylvia, what do you feel the rest of the country, at least other states that don't currently vote by mail and may want to, can learn from the way things have gone in Oregon and Washington?
So what we have in Oregon and Washington are election officials who are very willing and able to speak to the ways that their system evolved. By using the examples of Oregon and Washington and Colorado and Utah and Hawaii, other states can avoid the same pitfalls. I wouldn't say that there's any vote by mail system that's perfect. Again, there is no election that is perfect. But by working together and sharing information between the states, we can help eliminate some of the problems that have happened in the past.
Was there a problem with turnout before vote by mail?
There's always been a problem of turnout in this country, and there continues to be a problem with turnout today. Now, as you know, and everybody listening to this knows, with how politicized and divided this country is, voter turnout is maybe going to be record levels. But other than that, I don't think that mail-in voting has cured the lack of participation in historically in this country. Whether it's helped, I can't say, but it's definitely not cured it.
Sylvia, proponents of vote by mail argue that vote by mail increases engagement, registration, and actual turnout. Do you know if the numbers bear that out?
What we can say is that the use of vote by mail during this primary season saw an absolute astronomical increase in engagement of voters during the primaries. Some states doubled or tripled the percentage of voters engaged in primaries in comparison to 2016. And I consider that a great thing. More eligible voters engaged in our democracy makes our democracy stronger.
Sylvia, let's say I live in Wisconsin and I've always voted by driving down to my local library. I stand in line. I talk to people, some I know, some I don't, talk a little politics, talk a little weather, whatever you do to pass the time in the line. I go inside, I vote, I get my I voted sticker. This is the way I've always done it. How would Common Cause get me excited about vote by mail?
So first of all, we want to say that vote by mail is not the answer for everybody. And in no way are we telling people how they have to vote. What we are saying is that every voter should be able to have that choice. You, as an individual, choose how to vote, but we want to make sure you have all of the options available so that you don't feel that you can't exercise your right to vote. So lots of people, and I think you're seeing this more during this pandemic than at other times, have barriers to the ballot. And vote by mail is a way to eliminate those barriers. So our work in the states is really displaying that to lawmakers and policymakers and working to push them to make changes to expand access to the ballot.
Do you think there's concerns from one party or the other what an increased voter participation will do?
Well, I think the Democrats are saying that if you increase voter participation, it's better for them. And I think Republicans clearly tried to roadblock getting people to turn out. I think that's what political scientists will tell you.
Some of the statements from President Trump regarding vote by mail could lead you to believe that he believes Republican candidates, including him, would be hurt by expanding vote by mail. Sylvia, is there any data out there or have any studies been done that shows increasing election participation, whether it be vote by mail or other ways to increase engagement in election, actually favors one political party over another?
You know, studies have shown that there really isn't a correlation between the use of vote by mail and any particular demographic or political party excelling. There is no evidence that vote by mail favors one political party or another. You know, the Republican Party has been very honest about their use of vote by mail in the 2016 election and it benefiting and leading to President Trump being elected, particularly their use of it in Florida. The president clearly has a view. The president clearly believes vote by mail will harm him. That is not based in reality. There is no evidence to suggest his rhetoric around vote by mail is true at all.
We'll be right back.
The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home COIN Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the COIN podcasts in one place. The brand new COIN Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search COIN, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening.
Universal mail-in ballots is going to be a great embarrassment to our country.
You can't have millions and millions of ballots sent all over the place, sent to people that are dead, sent to dogs, cats.
One of the biggest and certainly more recent attacks on vote by mail is coming from the Trump administration, mainly in the form of accusations of fraud. How damaging are accusations like that to the overall confidence in elections and overall confidence in vote by mail?
I think polling will show that the attacks have had an effect on confidence in vote by mail and confidence in the election. I think what's really important for people to realize and to think about are the goals and strategy behind the attack. These attacks are not coming from somebody with no interest at all or no bias. The president has been very clear. His interest is in winning re-election at any cost. And he seems to be uninterested in whether or not it undermines the structure of our democracy. If you understand his motives, the president himself votes by mail. And if you were somebody who really believed that vote by mail was tainted, would you ever vote by mail? Of course not. We can see his motives and his actions. The two don't align with reality.
As a reporter, have you ever covered a story of fraud because of mail-in ballots? And do the accusations of fraud actually hold water?
Well, this is really interesting because when you look at Washington, you look at Oregon, the voter fraud is tiny. Going back 20 years, there haven't been any widespread voter fraud situations that I am aware of. So they've gotten it right pretty much from the start. People need to understand that each one of those ballots have a barcode on it, a unique barcode. So it's very difficult to fake it and to do fraud. The Secretary of State for Oregon, who's a Republican, remember, said that in 2016, they had 2.8 million voters and 22 people tried to vote in two states. And she told President Trump he should try it. He might like it. State of Washington, 2016. This is according to the Attorney General. In a report to Congress on the 2016 presidential election, the state of Washington said there were two criminal prosecutions for fraudulent votes and a small number of other cases in which voters potentially attempted to vote illegally. I think in Washington and Oregon, the idea that there's voter fraud here, that doesn't hold water.
Here in the Pacific Northwest, actual cases of voter fraud using vote by mail are minuscule to the point of almost being non-existent. Sylvia, to your knowledge, have there ever been significant instances of voter fraud using vote by mail in any of the states where it's commonplace?
The research has shown that there is no history of widespread impropriety related to vote by mail. The Conservative Heritage Foundation has attempted to amass their database of vote by mail issues nationwide. Even in their database, there is a 0.00006 chance of there being an impropriety with your mail-in ballot. It is exceptionally rare and does not affect election results on the whole.
Would you say you believe that vote by mail actually makes voter fraud more difficult?
The chances of impropriety with a ballot are so slim. And the reality is that we have a secure system with safeguards. So every time you hear that there was an issue with a ballot, you should think, wow, in 80 million ballots that were voted that year, the system is so good that it found that one with an issue. That makes me feel more confident in elections.
Does vote by mail work?
Vote by mail absolutely works when a system is put in place that is voter-centric. What that means is that it's an option, it allows for flexibility, and it takes the voters' needs to heart and makes them the most important aspect of the system. A vote by mail system needs to ensure that there are other options to vote. It needs to ensure that people are able to cure any problems with their ballot. It needs to ensure that there are multiple ways to request an absentee ballot and that access is universal. In order for our democracy to be successful, voting needs to be accessible to as many eligible voters as possible. And that means meeting the voters where they are. That means vote by mail. That means voting in person. That means translated materials. That means handicap accessible machines. Anything that is needed to ensure that population is able to access the ballot.
Next week, we take a look at the congressional campaign of Alex Skarlatos. What can it tell us about rural America, and what can it tell us about the future of the Republican Party? I'm Ian Costello for the COIN Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network. You can listen to more great COIN podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.